What goes on behind the scenes in Pacific politics and how does it affect us? Each week, Politalk dives straight into the tough questions, like who is actually stepping in to save people from sorcery, accusation, violence in Papua New Guinea?
So she was gasping for air inside the people in a group there, and then they accused her, like, you must be the sorceress.
To listen, search Politalk in your favorite podcast app.
This is an ABC podcast.
How good are you at saving money? After you've paid for food and your bills and your family obligations, is there anything left to put aside for the future? A little bit of financial literacy can go a long way, and there are many groups working to teach women about building their savings. I'm Natasha Metten. Sisters, let's talk about saving money. In Solomon Islands, a rural indigenous women's organization helps women be more financially independent. The West Are Are Rokotanikeni Association aims to educate women about saving and budgeting so that they can manage their own finances. Rebecca Minuta is the organization's executive director.
Working in other rural communities, women and girls in the rural communities are finding difficulties to manage their finances and finding ways to earn an income. So it is important that women in these communities, in the rural areas, know how to manage their savings, manage their finances. Because we see that it's not about how much they make or how much they earn, but we see the importance in managing whatever we earn. And so we see that the little they earn through their markets of selling root crops and vegetables, they can also be able to save little from their earnings and also help their households and families with whatever they earn.
Mm-hmm. And you run programs for women, particularly those who haven't been to school before. Why are you targeting women?
We've seen that men are more privileged than women. We see that women are often left behind in terms of development, in terms of decision making, in land and resources. Women are always left behind. And we see that it is important that we educate our women and help them through this financial literacy trainings to help them to be able to manage their finances, household, and also be able to contribute to decision makings in the traditional governance and at the community level.
And what are the basic skills that you teach?
So the basic skills that we teach them is how to do budgeting, how to do their savings. And we also teach them some life skills trainings and also business trainings as well. So the women are equipped with life skill knowledge through trainings of life skills and also be able to market their skills through the small life skills that they learn and be able to start the small businesses.
Mm-hmm. And you focus on saving. Why is this so important?
The savings is very important for us because we see that women are often left behind, and the women in rural communities do not know how to save. Previously, many women, when they earn, they just spend all their earnings and do not know how to do budgeting, do not know needs and wants, what to spend on. So it is important that they must know how to budget, know their needs and wants, and know that individuals also have various needs and wants as well. And it is important that they are well equipped with the knowledge of knowing how to save their whatever little income they have.
Rebecca, what are your top tips that you teach on how to save?
One of the tips that we usually tell our women and girls when we go is to save little by little and watch it grow. So it does not mean you have to save big amount, but just little. Whatever you have, you just have to put aside a little bit of your earning and then save it. And then you can watch it grow if you save it little by little every time.
And what have been some of your best success stories with women who've been in your program?
Our women are now being able to take loans to start small businesses. We have a lot of women involved in small businesses within the rural zones that we work with. And our women took out a small loan in 2008 to start her small business in rural West Harare. And now she runs her, she started with selling of small goods within her home. And now she was able to have a canteen, which is much a bit bigger than what she started with. And she was now being able to run her canteen in the community and being able to provide a service for her community where there was no such thing as that before in her community.
I see. And Rebecca, for women from across the Pacific listening today, what tips would you give them on being money smart?
The best tip that I could give to you today is it does not matter how much you earn, but you must have to put aside a little bit of your earnings and save it and watch it, save it little by little, and you'll see the outcome of your savings and you will harvest it later.
That's Rebecca Mainyuta, Executive Director of the West Harare Rokotanikeni Association.
You're listening to Sisters Let's Talk on ABC Radio Australia.
In rural Samoa, there are very few opportunities for people to earn a living, let alone save money. So the organization Women in Business Development works to help families set up small sustainable ventures to make money. At the same time, they are educating people about saving, which can be difficult in Samoa because of the cultural obligations to give money back to the community. Andy Tafuna'i is the organization's executive director.
What we're trying to do is just work with them, and we try to do it mainly with people we know that are earning a regular income. It's very difficult to try to do this with people that are earning like income sporadically, which is very, you know, widespread here as well. So when they're earning regularly, and then we can come in and what we've done at Women in Business is actually introduced a microfinance scheme, but we've tailored it to meet the needs of, you know, like their needs here in Samoa, and kind of help them work along with that. And then what our field staff do is go out and help people, you know, talk to them about the money and just try and support them. We've actually had to start a savings account as well for them with our organizations, because they didn't have bank accounts, but most of them have their own bank accounts now. So everybody's getting quite used to using money. It's just saving it that's the problem.
What economic opportunities are there for women, particularly in the rural parts of Samoa?
There actually are very few. Most of them, we were looking at organics mainly and looking at agriculture because that's what everybody has. And then what we took it a little bit further, and then we tried to add value to the things that they grew, and also to get organic certification to international standards, so that when we actually got products out for sale, they'd cost a little bit more and they could earn a little bit more money.
Andy, how does the cash economy make it difficult for women to save?
I don't think it's the cash economy. The cash economy, what I meant was, had come, like, it was happening everywhere, but not kind of right rurally. So people were using cash, but they weren't earning the money themselves. Mainly it was money that was being sent to them from family members who went overseas and sent it back home. So they didn't sort of have to earn the money and manage it themselves. And so that's what we've been trying to teach them. Yeah, and like we actually have the program at Women in Business where they actually have accounts with us. They save there. And as they grow in that, we introduce them to the bank and then they go and have their own bank accounts with the banks.
And tell me about the reliance of loans in Samoa to make ends meet.
Gosh, it's huge. It's huge. Even with our staff, we've had to kind of put some brakes on, you know, people going out and looking for loans. It's like it's what people turn to. And I guess that the other thing is that salaries are so small, and with the cost of living, the cost of the prices of things are high, it makes it very difficult for people. And a lot of the people rely on the money that comes in from their families who live overseas, and their families need it a lot as well. But I think that, you know, people are starting to understand. They're starting to look at what they can do as well, and all of this will work eventually, slowly.
Yeah, and you know, it's no wonder people are going overseas. How does the PALM scheme and other incentives driving people overseas impact the local economy?
We feel that it has a huge impact. Because the people that go, they want to keep going back. And it's that looking at that bigger sum of money that they can get, that they'll be paid. So, yeah, it's always everything where they can get more money. The focus will be on the amount of money, not on things that are long term, you know, and just making proper use of the money as well. You know, we have in Samoa a culture of the falavelave, where there's a lot of money is poured into the cultural, the things that have to be done, you know, for weddings, for funerals, just things to do in the village. So there's lots of things happening outside of what the family members need. So they're catering for so many things.
How is it affecting those left behind?
Yeah, well, we were a little worried about it in the beginning because it was taking our able-bodied people out. So where we had quite a few programs where they needed the stronger members of the family, you know, they were all gone. So I don't know kind of, you know, how much time was spent into discussing all of this, or it's so easy to take people away and get them to earn these big sums of money. But what will that look like long term? I remember speaking in New Zealand about something like this a little while back and just saying, you know, like they'll go there, they'll earn a whole lot of money if there was time that's spent with them into kind of understanding how they could manage the larger sums of money. I don't know how much of that's done.
And without savings, how do older women manage to survive once they can no longer work?
Their families. You know, there's a lot of reliance on the children to take care of the older family members. And I find even with our staff at Women in Business, this all falls with them as well in terms of their responsibilities to their families. And it's not only to the families, there's also responsibilities to the church, responsibilities to the village. There's so much other stuff happening that and to a lot of extent, we felt that a lot of the, you know, like the falavelave, when those things happen, they've been commercialized quite a bit.
What is your advice to women when you are talking to them about managing their money? How should they do it?
Oh, gosh, it's not easy. Really not easy. And, you know, in the beginning, we had to, like, they'd come into the office and get really annoyed with us, because if they made money through what they did with women in business, we would insist on money being kept in their savings account. Even if it was a little 5% or 5 thala or whatever, you know, so that they got used to whenever they got money, they saved a little, And just setting that up for the first time didn't go down too well. But after that, people got used to it. But then they would come back for whatever they were saving. And because something else came up, you know, there was another fa'ala velave and another fa'ala velave.
That's Andy Tafunai, the Executive Director of Women in Business Development. Some people are lucky enough to have superannuation, but how much do you really know about it? For women, understanding super is especially important because lower wages and caring responsibilities mean many women will retire with less than men. The Women in Super Network has been set up by the Pacific Islands Investment Forum to address these inequalities. The group has run a workshop to educate women about superannuation. Laumanu Mafi Tonga is the treasurer of the Women in Super Steering Committee.
Its main purpose is to address the gender disparities in retirement savings and financial literacy across the Pacific Island nations. The women often have lower lifetime earnings, interrupted work histories, you know, because we leave the workforce to bear and care for our children or our elderly, and they also have limited access to formal employment and financial services.
And how common is it for women in the Pacific to have access to superannuation?
So for the formal sector, it is there, the women in the formal sector are fairly covered.
Mm-hmm.
But it is the women in the informal sector, the rural areas, though then, for example, weaving groups or women who are doing subsistence farming in rural areas or more informal ways of generating income. There was a diagnostic study in 2022 that was undertaken by PSDI, and in that study they found that there were legislated areas for women, particularly those in the informal sector, to accessing retirement benefits. So, for example, some employers were only legislated to contribute retirement pensions if they had employees of 20 or more. Some employers would only contribute if income thresholds were met. And because women were disadvantaged or more likely to be in these lower income sectors, they were disadvantaged by some of the legislative barriers, even some of the organizational, operational policies that were limiting their access to retirement benefits. And that was an issue because women on average live longer than men, and yet they have lower retirement savings. So it needed to be addressed because they needed a dignified level of retirement saving for their future when they retired from work.
And who benefits from this initiative?
To be fair, it is targeted for women, but it benefits the 1.6 million members that the 20 superannuation funds across the Pacific cater to, and it is not even counting those in the informal sectors here. So we are trying to encourage the provision of tailored education on superannuation, investments, and long-term financial planning. We're trying to, as a network, empower financial empowerment for women and men in these informal sectors. These workshops and these seminars that we carry out annually are not limited just to the women, but everyone in the informal sector who is impacted. They are, you know,
welcome to join in these workshops and trainings. So we have community support networks, and many of the retirement funds in the Pacific has already started implementing many of the resolutions that were passed at the PIIF CEO Forum in 2022. You know, for example, we have women financial literacy programs in Papua New Guinea, even Solomon Islands, as well as Vanuatu, who are hosting us next year. So we are excited to hear from them on there. So although it is targeted at women, it is the benefits will be felt by everyone in the informal sector and those that currently do not have access to superannuation.
And in these forums, what is the type of information that will be relayed?
So we run a survey before the forum happens, and we send out a survey to member funds, and we ask them what they would like to see done at the next forum. And so the survey that came back recently, they wanted a focus on informal sector engagement in strategies around how to engage the informal sector. And so we are planning to focus our trainings on that in our next workshop next March. So we're being hosted by Vanuatu National Provident Fund, and on one of the days they are hoping to bring in their community leaders and their membership leaders who have been engaging the informal sector to talk to the rest of our network and share the information and the knowledge that they have gained implementing their informal sector engagement program. Vanuatu has been very successful. They have this mobile membership bus service. You know, it goes around the rural areas, engaging, meeting their members out in the more hard-to-reach areas. And, you know, our challenges in the Pacific, reaching those in the rural communities, etc. We all face the same challenges. So hearing from Vanuatu on their innovative solutions to these challenges will be beneficial for the rest of the network in implementing their own strategies in their own countries.
And how significant is the gap from what the male labor force acquires in retirement fees compared to women?
There is a pretty significant diagnostic study that was carried out by PSDI, focused on the reviewing legislations and the household expenditure surveys and statistics reports from each of these Pacific Island countries. And that study pointed to, you know, the pretty significant disadvantage that women were facing accessing these retirement benefits. So we are one of the resolutions that was passed at the CEO Forum was for funds to focus on sex disaggregated data, because we couldn't, you know, you can't manage what you haven't measured. So many of these funds had to go back to the basics of collecting membership data and separating sex disaggregated data to allow these funds to be able to see their progress from a baseline to what it is today. And many of the funds have shown a significant increase in women participation after these initiatives and awareness programs have started.
On a really practical level, are there challenges for women in rural areas to access the technology to have a super account?
Oh, yes, absolutely. You're seeing a lack of, there's also, you know, cultural norms and a lack of trust in anything that is new or different, in a sense that technology is, it will play such a crucial role in financial access and access to these rural communities. But also it takes time, and, you know, our cultures, we are very relationship focused. We're very community based and relationship based. And so we have seen some funds try to get over the barrier of trust issues and communication issues and trying to train them up by engaging local community leaders in each of these rural communities, and sort of like, how do you say, train the trainer model, where they empower the local women leaders, and then from there they cascade the knowledge within their communities. And I think that's been a pretty effective method of communication and education is the trust in the relationship is really important. Otherwise, we really just not going to get anywhere.
Yeah. And how do you deal with the lack of technology?
Donors and funding projects are really key in this area. We are fortunate that our workshop is funded by the New Zealand Tupa Funded, but we are working on trying to secure funding for implementation of these programs, and that may include distributing technology. But of course, we have to work together with Itovawa, key stakeholders in government, infrastructure development, and this is a collaborative effort. We can't, you know, work in isolation. So we are trying to engage each of our government stakeholders to assist in trying to roll out Facebook.
What do you want women to realize and be part of from the trainings?
I think it'd just be
education is power. It's more them realizing how much their futures depend on their choices today and their financial decision today, and just giving them the ability to choose it, to make informed decisions. Even if they, for example, putting away $5 a week or $10 a week or something, but creating the habit or starting to plan for their futures and to realize that, you know, a lot of the decisions that they make today will impact their futures. And so it's more just giving them access to information and giving them the ability to understand and manage their retirement savings a lot better.
Without superannuation, how do women in the Pacific fund retirement or older age when they can no longer work?
Oh, well, we're pretty fortunate in our region, Natasha, because we still have our extended family network. So a lot of the, you know, that saying that we invest in our children because they'll come back and look after us. We still have that. That mindset and that very strong extended family network. And that's not a bad thing. You know, I think, yeah, personally, I think that's fortunate for us that we still have our extended family networks and support. But all this to complement those existing networks and to complement for women to really have choices when they are a lot older, you know, you have a bit more independence, and money is a big part of that independence and that dignity when you're older. So this is more to complement those existing practices that we already have, and maybe, you know, even to give our children other choices. But yes, it really is about allowing women to make those decisions, those good financial decisions for their future retirement selves.
Do you have any message that you'd like to encourage women in the Pacific Islands to consider about their superannuation?
I would just like to encourage women to educate themselves, to teach themselves little, to upskill themselves. This is a time of technology and we can access information much easier, and it pays to invest in yourself, invest in your future self, and go to the workshop or these communities and talk to people. And it's a good thing to learn any skill. Financial literacy is really important. And so I would encourage women to start learning these key skills around our financial literacy and superannuation.
That's Laumanu Mafitonga, the treasurer of the Women in Super Steering Committee. Thanks to my guests today, Laumanu Mafitonga, Rebecca Mainuta, and Andy Tafunai. Remember that if you can manage it, putting just a few dollars, kina or vatu aside each week might make life easier for you. Sisters Let's Talk is presented by me, Natasha Metten. Our supervising producer is Kim Lester. Our executive producer is Faleanga Fulu Inga Stunzna. Sisters Let's Talk is an ABC Radio Australia production. We acknowledge the Yagara, Turrbal and Darumbal peoples on whose land this program is produced. Amtasol na lukimu next time.